On the 2nd of October 2018, the Saudi Arabian Jamal Khashoggi flew from London to Istanbul to visit the Saudi consulate there to collect routine marriage papers. Within 15 minutes of entering, he was assassinated. The news went all around the world very, very quickly. There's been an awful lot of speculation around this. And I'm delighted to say that we can talk to the author of a new book about this particular affair called Khashoggi and the Crown Prince, The Secret Files. Owen Wilson joins us now. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Well, it's really a web of intrigue is actually putting too fine a point on it, really. Let's start at the beginning here, then, if we can. And let's, for our benefit of our listeners who may not know the story, talk about who Jamal Khashoggi is.
Yes, he was an interesting character because he'd been kind of an insider in Saudi Arabia. His family were very well connected to the royal family there. He then developed a career as a journalist stroke spy. He had dealings with Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan. In fact, he'd known him before bin Laden really went off the rails. Mm-hmm. Then he worked for several prestigious newspapers and agencies in Saudi Arabia, which doesn't have a particularly free press. So his job was, rather than to hunt out stories like a normal journalist, it was rather to suppress the news. Mm-hmm. But then he fell out of favor in Saudi Arabia and moved to the U.S., where he became a columnist on the Washington Post and became rather critical of the regime in Saudi Arabia, particularly the rise of the Crown Prince. That's partly because the faction that he was in favour with in Saudi Arabia was opposed to the rise of the Crown Prince, who then, of course, was worried about what was going to come out.
Yes.
Because Khashoggi knew where the bodies were buried.
Of course. Yes, I can understand that part of it. And it all seemed reasonably kind of silent until a rather innocuous process occurred of him going to Istanbul to obtain divorce documents to allow him to remarry. Now, I believe he made a trip on the 28th of September last year, but was then told he had to come back again.
Yes, yes. Initially, he'd approached the embassy, the Saudi embassy in Washington, for these divorce papers, to show that he was about to marry a young Turkish girl, and he needed to show the authorities there that he was indeed divorced from his last wife.
Yeah.
So he needed papers. He'd gone to the embassy in Washington and was told that he had to collect these papers in Istanbul. The ambassador in Washington, of course, is the Crown Prince's brother.
Right. Right. Okay. So there he goes. He goes on the 28th September. He then returns on the 2nd of October, and with him was his Turkish fiance, and he obviously wouldn't be expecting anything bad to happen to him, yet he gave his fiance two mobile phones and told her to call an advisor to the Turkish president if he didn't come back out, which is strange.
Yes, there had been a number of instances previously where Saudi dissidents had been essentially kidnapped and taken back to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I don't think he thought he was in danger of his life.
Mm.
He thought that might happen, but he was by this time well in with Erdogan in President Erdogan in Turkey. So he thought that the Saudis wouldn't dare do anything in Istanbul. Unfortunately, of course, Turkey and Saudi Arabia are big rivals in Middle East politics.
Mm.
So he'd furthest kind of blotted his copybook with the Crown Prince.
But there he is. He's given his fiancée two phones. He didn't come back out, obviously, as we now know. And she ultimately waited there, I believe, for more than 10 hours. Did she actually make a call?
Yes, she did. He told her to contact an intermediary with Erdogan. So that she did make a call, and that the embassy, the consulate there, was under surveillance. And pictures of a man dressed in Khashoggi's clothes came out of the back, but the shoes didn't fit, so it plainly wasn't him.
As she then came back, I believe, the following morning as well, when Khashoggi had still not reappeared, and this is where the plot then thickens, obviously. It was reported all over the news that this had gone on, and obviously it's on Turkish soil. The Turks obviously needed to get involved. So what happened? What was the kind of timeline at that moment then?
Well, gradually, we don't know where the audio from the consulate came, but gradually it began leaking out that some horrendous tapes of Khashoggi being, initially his fingers were cut off, which the Crown Prince likes doing to writers, and then murdered.
Now, this audio, is this the same story that came out that allegedly an Apple Watch was involved?
Yes, but a lot of technical bods have dismissed that. But plainly, people do spy on each other's embassies. Whether it was the Turks spying on the Saudis, whether it was the Americans, or whether it was the Russians, we don't know.
Yes, I mean, as an owner of an Apple Watch, yes, you can record audio onto it, but then you've got to get that audio somewhere, haven't you, for somebody to be able to listen back to it. And if you haven't got the watch, then you're stymied on that front. So the speculation was, according to the CIA, that this was ordered by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. And of course, they vehemently denied that. And in fact, not only did they deny it, they said that he had left the consulate after, quote, a few minutes or 1 hour, we have nothing to hide. So immediately the finger was pointed at them, wasn't it?
Yes, and their story changed repeatedly. But of course, one of the gentlemen who turned up from Saudi Arabia to do this further was actually on the phone to Crown Prince's office while it was going on.
There's been a report on CNN, I think it was initially, that Khashoggi had told his killers, "I can't breathe," in the final moments. Where did that? Is that part of this audio recording then that allegedly existed?
Yes, it is. He was plainly restrained in such a fashion that suffocated him, but that probably saved him from a worse fate.
Right, and in another conversation, this is back in 2017 now, bin Salman, the Crown Prince bin Salman, told a top aide he would, quote, use a bullet on Khashoggi, and that was in that conversation in 2017. So what was the analysis of that statement, that he was just speaking metaphorically, presumably?
Yes, as I say, he likes writers' fingers being cut off first. There was a lot of that sort of talk. It was essentially, if you can't get this man back to Saudi Arabia, get rid of him.
Yes. Now, Turkey, of course, very involved in this, as it's on their home territory, says, in fact, President Erdogan says there's evidence that the, quote, savage killing was planned days in advance. And in fact, it was quite a complex plot, according to Turkey, involving three teams of Saudi nationals.
Yes, there were actually two teams who flew in on private jets from Saudi Arabia that day, and obviously, yes, as you say, that he'd been told to come back to the consulate, so they knew exactly when he was coming and they could everything in place. But, I mean, the weird thing is that the intervening time, he came to London, and he had dinner in a restaurant just around the corner from my flat.
Wow. Good Lord. So there you are.
Close to home.
There you are, yeah, indeed. So in the book that we have talked about at the start there, that you're the author of, Khashoggi and the Crown Prince, when I saw this in one of the national newspapers, there was a huge picture of Donald Trump, and the headline was, "Did Secret Nuke Talks with Trump Trigger Khashoggi Killing?" So what's that all about?
Well, there were two things that obviously Khashoggi knew with the inside of. That there was there were talks going on between the American government and the Saudis about giving nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia, initially for power stations, but actually, of course, you could weaponize that to balance them against the other U.S. enemy, Iran. But there was another interesting thing too, that during the election campaign, Donald Trump opened five companies in Saudi Arabia, which, as you know, he's quite big in the leisure industry and hotels, because the Crown Prince was building a great new resort.
Yes.
So he was. Donald Trump was involved on a private level as well as doing the nuclear deal, which, of course, the nuclear deal at the time was denied, and then it's since come out that was going on.
Trump described it at the time as, quote, "the worst cover-up in history," but then as persistently defended, as you pointed out there, America's ties to the kingdom for reasonably obvious reasons. There was a congressional deadline for the White House to decide whether the Crown Prince had in fact ordered Khashoggi's killing. What was the outcome of that?
Well, yes, it is simply palpable that he did. Of course, Congress put this in rather kind of milder language, but certainly the CIA have just pointed the figure at the Crown Prince.
And so what happens now? You can't just go around murdering journalists in somebody else's country, can you?
Well, apparently you can.
Yes, yes.
If you're a Saudi.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll be able to travel around the world very easily, but he certainly got away with it so far.
So in terms of your book, then, you would agree then with the CIA's version of events that the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman did order that disappearance and eventual murder and dismembering of the body?
Yes, it's palpable.
What a story. What a story. And that poor woman,
yeah.
You know, who was sat outside waiting all that time. God knows what was going through her mind at the time. Well, thank you,
yes,
Owen, for joining us today.
Yes,
it's all in great detail in the book, and it's a complex story. So I advise you to get the hold of the book and have a look at it. Khashoggi and the Crown Prince, A Secret Files by Owen Wilson. Thank you so much, Owen, for your time today. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
All the best to you. Thank you.